Today's good question comes from Chaitanya Priya in Coventry. And she's asking the following question. I'm just paraphrasing now. That we see that Dhritarashtra heard Sanjaya speaking Bhagavad Gita, which was full of such wonderful instruction, and yet still he didn't surrender. It only took, as we read in Srimad Bhagavatam, the last phase of his life when Vidura came and instructed him, that he then at least retired and achieved some semblance of spiritual decorum. Anyway, that's my word. So how is that? Why didn't he take seriously Krishna's instruction in Bhagavad Gita? And of course we should really review the actual Mahabharata history, because it isn't that Dhritarashtra just heard from Krishna through Sanjaya. He, throughout his life, particularly when his sons were born, and this whole intense dichotomy grew up between Duryodhan and the Pandavas. Actually, the Pandavas had no qualms with Duryodhan, but it was Duryodhan who was envious that Yudhisthira Maharaj was the eldest and that he should inherit the throne. He was being given so much good advice. He constantly got advice from Bhishmadev, from Vidura, from Vyasadev, repeatedly, from his wife, from all of the other elders at the Kaurava court, and yet he wouldn't listen to them. He told him that he should not support Duryodhan in his irreligious conduct towards the Pandavas. Neither was Duryodhan the one who was either qualified or rightfully in line for inheriting the throne. It was not the direction of karma or destiny that should happen, but he was too attached. He was just unable to listen. And that is something that we need to consider ourselves, that we often get good advice, but are we actually able to take advantage of that? And if not, and Krishna says, "Matchitasarudurgani matpushadaptarishati." He says, if you listen to me, then you'll overcome all obstacles of conditional life. But if you act on basis of false ego, then you'll be destroyed. More or less, that's what happened to Duryodhan, Dhritarashtra, Duryodhan as well, and Dhritarashtra. Is the Dhritarashtra was destroyed. He didn't wake up. He had no other alternative. By the time that Vidura came into Yudhisthira Maharaj's court, he just pointed out, listen, you're dying. You're just on death's doorstep. You're living in the house of your enemy. Those people who you were willing to kill, or at least let your son kill them, they're now maintaining you. You have nothing. All of your sons have died. All of your hopes are wasted away. Your family is finished. You're responsible for the death of so many Kshatriyas, and then the consequence of that is that their families are suffering as a result of you. So why don't you at least die with integrity? And more or less, that was all that Dhritarashtra was able to achieve. He was only able to die with integrity. He went to Haridwar, and there he left his body, and he attained Brahma Sayujya. Not such a good result. So why wasn't actually he able to, despite the fact that he had such good association and such good advice? Well, attachment was too strong. That's something that repeatedly comes up in Mahabharata. He had a weakness for a bad person. which was Duryodhana, and whereas he had good association, but in a Krishna conscious context, his spiritual practices were not strong enough for him. He was religious or dharmic in many ways, but not particularly spiritual, and therefore he couldn't accept the good advice, even though he recognized, he was aware of the fact that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he says himself in one of the many places that he's getting advice that I know what I should do, but I can't do it. So this type of spiritual weakness is something that one needs to really protect oneself from. And it comes from not having enough spiritual strength, from not being sufficiently empowered by Krishna's holy name, by Krishna's internal potency, which comes through good spiritual practice. Unless one has good spiritual practices, ultimately he will not be able to do the right thing, even if that right thing comes directly from Krishna. He won't be able to do it. And what will be the end result? Krishna says, then you'll be destroyed. Because in that sense, all of us have the two directions of our fate written for us. On one side, we have the opportunity to go back home, back to Godhead. That script is written. What's that script based on? It's based on us following Krishna's instruction. It's based on following the instruction of sadhus. It's based on following the instruction of spiritual master. And then you go back to Godhead. The other script is that material energy destroys you, humbles you, by taking away everything that you have, because one doesn't take shelter of the internal potency, and thus just wastes away in the material world. So both of these are scripts that are there. We should be aware of that, that we determine which one of those two becomes actually our life. Difficulty will always be there. So Krishna says that, yes, you will overcome all the obstacles of material existence. Material life means obstacles. So that no one can avoid. And that will always be there. There will always be problems in material life. If we take shelter of Krishna, then yes, those things can be overcome. And if we don't, then no, our material attachments, they'll destroy us in the way that Dhritarashtra was also destroyed. Doing what Krishna says isn't always easy, as we find in the example of Arjuna. So killing his relatives, it didn't make it any easier for him to fight Bhishma Dev, and what didn't mean that he didn't lament having to be in direct conflict with his family members, but he did it. So doing what Krishna says doesn't necessarily mean decisions in life are not necessarily easy things, because ultimately we got ourselves into a real fix. We're here in the material world. It's a very bad place. It's a very difficult situation. So when you get yourself into a difficult situation, then you could expect that getting out of it is not easy. So it's not easy. We shouldn't expect that it's going to be easy. And sometimes we have to make painful decisions. For instance, Dhritarashtra's decision should have been, and a very painful one for a father, is that Duryodhan was a hopeless case. So everyone had written him off. And they said, you have to just abandon this person, do something with him, exile him, but don't entrust responsibility to him. He will simply just abuse it. He's a bad person. And everyone told him that. It wasn't an easy thing to do, a very difficult thing to do. And he said, well, I can't do it. Well, that's fine, but the end result was the same anyway. Your bad son was destroyed. So he could have taken a easier approach. He could have exiled them, sent them off somewhere, and given them some token little kingdom, some town or city somewhere at the end of the world, and just banished them. And that would have been the right thing to do. Difficult thing to do. How many fathers are willing to do that? Well, Maharaj Dasharatha was willing to do it, and he wasn't doing it to someone who was bad. He was doing it to a faultless person, Lord Ramachandra. He was acting on the basis of Dharma. He'd given his word, and when Kaikeyi wanted him to banish Ram, he did it. So it was a difficult decision, but he took that decision. And we see similarly Arjun. Arjun had to make the decision. It wasn't an easy thing to do for him to fight, but he did it. So either we're proactive and act on the basis of Dharma, which doesn't necessarily make do away with our problems in life. The problems will be there, but we will get the best result out of every situation. And ultimately, the result of our lives will be to go back home, back to Godhead. So very very instructive when I saw it, although it wasn't actually sort of in line time-wise. There are other questions that are waiting in queue. I was inspired, because one of the things that for me to be able to do these podcasts is to be inspired by the questions. Sometimes devotees may think, why am I doing these podcasts? For instance, when I'm now dressing Radha Damodar, one reason is because it's not such an inspiring thing to be speaking to a machine. I've already mentioned this before. If I'm talking to a devotee, seeing someone face to face, having a class, and that's sort of a nice, inspiring, dynamic way to record a podcast, to just repeatedly sit down and talk to a microphone isn't. And therefore, part of my inspiration is in the inspirational nature of the questions that are being asked. I found this to be a very, very good one. And good day to everyone. Yesterday, Sunday, was my day to, it was also Kadasi. I had the opportunity to help dress Radhe Shyam, Kirtan in the morning, in the evening. We were also experimenting, or at least rehearsing, practicing some other new tunes. And I also worked on a new schedule for Navabraja Mahima, but I'll talk about that a little more tomorrow. And for now, Hare Krishna.